to the mic.
Good morning, everyone. Let me try that again. Good morning, everyone. I'm Jim Lovelace. I work for the Columbia housing folks and the development community. So the Home Builders Association and the Central Missouri Development Council. Welcome to all of you. How many folks had the opportunity to be a part of this earlier? Yesterday, oh good, a great number of you. So I really won't need to go over much what the objectives are. But yesterday we heard from folks who are not part of our Columbia community, but folks who are here from Missoula and Boulder and are in the midst of addressing the problem of providing homes for not just people who are very low income, but people who are working folks and yet find themselves in a situation where they can no longer afford a new home in their community without some kind of directed program. And we are fast approaching that here in Columbia. Yesterday we learned that the average sale price of a new home in Columbia was, what, $260,000, Kara, last year, and is projected to be even more expensive this coming year and in the future. And if you're a cop on the street, if you're a teacher, if you are hanging sheetrock or painting stripes on the street, you cannot afford on your income to buy a new home in Columbia. And this is a problem that we need to address, because those folks who make our city run, we would like to have living in our city rather than in Centralia or Boonville or Fulton and coming to Columbia. So this is one of the objectives of this symposium, is how do we begin to progress in our community to dealing with this problem before it gets to the point where we cannot deal with it. We've been talking about this particular issue for a decade in this town, and we have hit the point now where we realize that we are at a point where we need to take some action. We need to have a directed plan and city policies and philosophies as to how to do this. So we're delighted to have all of you back. I would like to thank again our sponsors of this conference, particularly the Central Bank, for making this possible. And also to thank those folks who are members of the planning committee that put all this together. And you can see their names behind me. So if you would you join me in thanking these folks for making this happen? Our hope is that with this session today that we can walk out of here at the end of this session with some very definite things that we can do, some to use the vernacular, some actionable steps. I am by no means smart enough to do this, so we're going to work on the collective wisdom from this group that's assembled here. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to the two ladies who have been facilitating this, actually doing the nitty-gritty of making this happen, and that's Kim Becking and Carolyn Sullivan. Carolyn, would you like to come take the microphone again? Thank you all for coming.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Get some energy in this room. We've got some planning to do. That's what you're here to do, right? Build a citywide strategy for more affordable housing. How does that sound? Yeah, I like that. Can we get another woohoo? All right, that's what we're here to do. If you're not here to do that, then you're in the wrong place. Okay, so here's our agenda for this morning. I am about to report out to you on the pre-event survey. We sent out a pre-event survey to get sort of the temperature of the group that was planning to attend here. That was, at the time, the people who had pre-registered, there were, where's my number, Randy, 83, did you tell me? 85, okay. 85 people had pre-registered at the time we sent out the pre-event survey, and 52 of you responded to that survey, meaning we had a response rate of 61%. And in a moment, I will tell you what you said about that. And so we just wanted to get your temperature on three different questions. And, you know, basically, how important is this issue to you, and how important do you think this issue is to the community? Then we'll talk about yesterday afternoon a little bit, but since anyone who wasn't here yesterday afternoon, a couple of you, okay. And then how many of you were here, weren't here last night? Okay, so we will report out to you on the World Cafe feedback so that you get some sense of that, and that can be an input into the planning process as well. And then we're going to move into 1A and 1B, to my left, your right, and we're going to do some planning, and we're going to have a crazy short amount of time to do that, about 75 minutes, but you look up to the task to me, and it's really just getting this ball rolling. We're going to figure out where do we go from here in order to keep the momentum going, all right? And we're going to evaluate the process, and then we'll all be out of here by 8:30. How about 11:30 before lunch? All right, so this pre-event survey to which I refer, the first question we asked on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the high, the most important, how would you rate the issue of affordable housing to our Columbia community? The weighted average, 8.19. So this group, which we said yesterday was a very diverse group. And if you look in your event guide, you see a very diverse group. Builders, developers, realtors, J&Q citizens, right? Very diverse group is, you're all coming here, and you might say, oh yeah, well I'm coming here because it's an important issue. But some of you might be coming here in order to oppose the issue. One of the speakers yesterday, was it John, I think, talked about caves. Citizens against virtually everything, right? So we might have cave people who came here to say, no, I don't want more affordable housing. But in fact, what the 8.19 says is no, affordable housing is an important issue to me, and affordable housing is, this reflects that affordable housing is important to the group that is assembled here, which is, as I said, a diverse group. 39 out of the 52 who responded gave it an 8 or higher. All right, so that's, we're off to a good start. So the second and third questions were similar but different. What does the issue of affordable housing mean to you personally? That was question two. And then what does the issue of affordable housing mean to the Columbia community? So we were asking them to extrapolate on that. And the answers were virtually the same, right? What does it mean to you personally? It means affordable, safe, quality, energy efficient, housing that improves quality of life. Well, look at the answers to what does it mean to the Columbia community? Affordable, safe, and the answers on that were both related to rental and owner-occupied. There's a diversity of affordable housing in all neighborhoods. We heard from our guest speakers about that mixed neighborhoods, and provides good quality of life. So what does that say to you? Here's what it says to me. Yesterday there were speakers who talked about this idea of affordable housing as a basic human right. And this is what that says to me, is that you all really recognize that affordable housing, and this is like 52 respondents worth of answers over and over talked about these issues, and to me that overwhelmingly says that the respondents see affordable housing in the same way as the speakers, our guest speakers did, and others, the topic talk speakers did, which is as a basic human right. What about you? Is that how you see this data? John? Yes? Okay. So let me share with you some lessons learned. from yesterday. So we gave participants slips of paper at the end of the afternoon session. And in the afternoon, we heard from three guest speakers who spoke about, Michelle Allen spoke about inclusionary housing, and we heard from Rick Wishcamper, a developer, national developer, who's located in Missoula, Montana, and John Engen, the mayor of Missoula, three-time term mayor, who talked about the public and private partnerships they've been successful in engaging in to develop and expand affordable housing there. And we asked people to answer two questions with these. One was, please share one thing you learned today, and please share one thing you'd like to learn more about. And in terms of the lessons learned, we just wanted to share some of what we heard people say they learned. Inclusionary housing. So many of the participants yesterday reflected on these yellow sheets that they did not know about inclusionary housing, and overwhelmingly the remarks about inclusionary housing on the yellow sheets were positive. There were one or two people who were like, no, that'll never work in Columbia. But overwhelmingly there was interest in the idea and a favorable reaction to the idea. There, people were interested in the idea of the intersectionality of the issue of affordable housing. The speakers spoke about, you know, that affordable housing relates to transportation, and it relates to food, and it relates to schools, and all of these issues. You know, in the strategic plan for the city, the issue, there's a strategic priority of social equity, and that's actually one of the reasons we're all here, is because that is a strategic priority, social equity. So all of these issues are interrelated, and the guest speakers yesterday spoke about how, you know, we have to view them as interconnected, because you pull one and it impacts the other. How affordable housing is financed. The speakers spoke eloquently and in detail about that, the financing, and those of you who are here appreciated that and learned from that. That quality design counts. People learned about that yesterday, I know I learned about that. That, you know, that's a myth, right? That affordable housing is a lower quality than other housing. That was a myth that was busted yesterday by our guest speakers. We learned about tools to fund affordable housing. There was quite a variety of tools that were identified by the guest speakers. And about the high percentage of cost burden, Randy talked about that and related it to Columbia quite well. And about the importance of zoning. So those are just some of the lessons learned. Here are some others. That it's possible to have fair, free transit. I think John blew our mind. John Engen, the mayor of Missoula, blew our mind when he talked about how they've wiped away the fare in Missoula. And I think some of you got thinking about, wow, is that possible here in Columbia? And the impact of that, right? If people don't have that amount of money, if they don't have to have a car because they have free transit, if they don't have to have a car and they save that $300 to $500 per month, what does that do for affordable housing? Our success will require that our citizens are willing to help pay for affordable housing and transportation, and Michelle spoke about the contribution to property taxes and how that contributes to affordable housing in Boulder, and how it has to be everyone contributing to affordable housing, the solution of affordable housing, in order for it to be a win. About a developer's showcase to recruit. In Missoula, they bring in developers and showcase the city and to recruit quality investment. That affordable housing likely inflates the cost of new construction for middle-income purchasers. And then rental housing costs need to be more in line with the average income of Columbia. So these are just some of the things that participants learned yesterday, and it shows, I think, in a measure of the success of yesterday afternoon's session. All right. And we had topic talks on these four topics by local experts. The first one was by Randy Cole, citizen, city employee. The second one was by Phil Steinhaus with the Columbia Housing Authority. The third one, Carol Linnemeyer and Eric Morrison. And the fourth one, Darren Priest. And then we had the World Cafe in the evening, and the citizens, and Kim is going to talk about this in a moment. The citizens talked about these four topics, and she will share with you what was discussed in relation to those four topics. All right.
All right, good morning. So how many of you were here last evening? Almost everyone. How many were not, I guess, is the question. Okay, so there's a few. So as a part of our evening session last night, as Carolyn indicated, we had a World Cafe where we had four different topics, problems, miseducation, impact, and solutions. And so everyone who attended last night had an opportunity to choose two of these key areas to go to. It was a facilitated discussion where we had two questions in each of these areas. And they had a short time period, but enough time to generate about 10 pages of notes that we were analyzing until 1 a.m. So a lot of great feedback, a lot of great input. There were some common themes that we were able to identify. So I'm going to briefly walk through each of these areas, each of the questions, those things that kept popping up, in both the first round and the second round. And then from there, we're then going to move directly into solutions. And we will be going in the room next door in 1A and 1B and sitting at tables and having facilitated discussions about solutions with the goal at the end of that to come up with, kind of a top priority or priorities of, a few solutions of where do we go from here and what are the resources that we need to make that happen. So in a very brief time period. So we're just going to get going. So the first question under problems was, why is this problem, lack of affordable housing, happening in Columbia? And there were a couple of things that really kept coming up. People don't make enough money. There's no overall affordable housing policy, and there was a lot of discussion around types of policies. We heard a lot from our speakers, both our local experts as well as our out-of-town experts, on what those policies could look like. So that was a big piece of the puzzle there. A lack of education, and that was kind of broken out. There were two different pieces to that. I mean, there was lack of education from a workforce or job perspective, but there was also the financial piece of home ownership classes or those types of things. And then the fourth was really losing affordable housing stock quicker than we're gaining it, and that came up several times. So that was the first question. The second was, what potential barriers are there to addressing this issue? One of the barriers that was identified was the reality of our political cycle. Priorities change when a new council or a new mayor come in. Affordable housing is a longer term, as we heard Michelle and others talk about. It's a longer term process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. And so then if you have new folks coming in who may have different priorities and that may not be at the top of their priority, that's a challenge. That political will that we heard all of our out-of-town guests talk about. Cost of living in Columbia was an issue that came up as a potential barrier. Shrinking revenue streams, as far as entitlement, as far as dollars, and I think Randy and others showed their charts yesterday and Phil of, whether it's CDBG dollars, whether it's home dollars, all of those different sources that are continuing to shrink. And so the pie is smaller, and we're getting a smaller piece of the pie, but yet our problem is continuing to grow. And so how do we address that, and how do we fill that gap? And then lack of living wage jobs continued to come up as a barrier and really needing to identify and try to help solve that issue. Then we move on to myths and education. What are the most common myths about affordable housing in Columbia? And you know, again, we heard some of this both yesterday afternoon and in the evening. You know, that it breeds crime. You know, that all people who live in affordable housing areas are criminals, right? And it's that perception thing. That perception equals reality. Lowers property values, you know, as a myth. That there's more out there than there actually is. People who live in it don't want to work, right? People are lazy. They just are taking advantage of the system. And that was something that came up in several times. That affordable housing is located in the central city only. That was another myth. That it's only public housing, right? That it's only Section 8 or those types of things. And then this was an interesting one that you, as far as a myth, more from the user perspective, that you can't own a home with a low income, right? And that gets back to the education and home ownership classes and, you know, really that transition. And Phil talks a lot about this, that transition from rental to home ownership and that gap and getting people, you know, getting users who are renting to realize that they can do it. And that education piece that goes with it. So that was another myth that was identified. And then we talked about thoughts about strategies to dispel those myths. That was the next question. And out of this, it really the overarching umbrella was education and public awareness. And, you know, and as a part of that, there was also, you know, we had, and I don't know, are the students from the University of Missouri here this morning? So we had a large group of students here last night from the University of Missouri as well that shared, you know, some input as well. And so as a part of that education and public awareness, also not forgetting about the student housing component, I wanted to make sure that was brought up. So there were lots of ideas as far as education and awareness, tours of public housing, again, to help dispel those myths. You know, including information, more information on the city's website and having a database of rental properties and mapping that out, utilizing the media to educate the public. And then also, you know, really having and being transparent about how projects are funded. And I think, you know, that's a complicated process, as we've heard, you know, from our guest speakers, you know, the funding piece, and Michelle talked about it as well, you know, unfortunately, a lot of this comes down to having the funding and having the resources and the money, and that's the reality. So as a part of that, really educating the public on the funding piece and how that works, and the city and developer breakdown of costs, including infrastructure, you know, who's paying what, is everyone paying their fair share, right? And so I think those are the conversations as far as public awareness that we have to have and that we have to continue to have so that it doesn't become an us versus them piece, right? And we heard a lot, and you'll see that we talk about partnership and talk about the importance of bringing everyone to the table, which was really one of the big goals of this symposium. And so this is a great first step to be able to do that, but continuing that as a part of the education and awareness as we move forward with this process. So then we get into impact, you know, what is the impact of the lack of affordable housing on Columbia and on you? And there were, again, those common themes that kept coming up. Homelessness came up several times, and we've heard a lot about it. We've heard, you know, Dr. Stiepelman talk about it, and Darren in his presentation last night hit on this. Having to work multiple jobs, the deterioration of the family was a big one as well. And commuter issues, right? So if we've got 50,000 people who are coming into Columbia to work because they can't find affordable housing here or it's not available, then that affects us in a lot of different ways, right? It's transportation issues. It's affect, you know, the infrastructure, our roads, property taxes, you know, that tax base that we're not able to capture. So it affects us in a lot of those other areas as well. This was one that was brought up several times, renting per bed, not per unit. And that also came up particularly as it relates to student housing and the effect that it has there and a lot of the struggles that can create. And then ultimately creating those cost burden renters, which we saw the numbers last night on that. The other piece of impact was, you know, there were a couple of other ones that came up as well that we wanted to make sure we hit on. The higher rate of mobility on children, right, having to move from place to place to place, you know, that can, or having to commute, right, and travel. So, you know, that has multiple impacts on children and on students. The decrease of credit quality, the lack of community, and we've heard a lot about that, you know, that sense of community and, you know, we talk mixed income neighborhoods and the importance of that and how that is important. Adult children living at home with their parents, we're seeing more and more of that. The barrier, you know, the barrier that creates to higher education, and then increases on urban sprawl. A couple others that aren't on here that I did want to mention, you know, the supply and demand issue of, you know, the shortage increases the price was something that was brought up. And the fact that it does really impact the entire community from that perspective, right? I mean, if there's a lack of affordable housing, then, you know, if you're having to work two jobs because prices are higher, you don't have time to spend at home with your family or your children, you know, it affects, you're having to decide between paying the rent because you're cost burdened and paying for health insurance. And we saw that yesterday in our presentations, and particularly in Darren's last night. And, you know, whether it's mental health, whether it's, you know, affecting education, the health care costs, it creates generational issues. And so, you know, really making sure that we're looking at, and that is the impact of, you know, why this issue is so important and why we need to address it in our city. And then we kind of flipped that and said, what would the impact of more affordable housing be on your life? And really the overarching theme of that was improving the quality of life, you know, and bettering our community. And so less homelessness, long-term health benefits, more time to participate in the community because you're not working two or three jobs to be able to pay for your housing. You know, living in a community more aligned with our values. Kids are most likely to rise out of poverty in a mixed income neighborhood. And again, creating creating a community that is more engaged. So those were the issues that came up with impact. And then we get to solutions, right? This is the fun part. This is the part where all of you are here ready to roll up your sleeves this morning. Everybody still awake? Yeah? We're ready to go? So in regards to solutions, and you are going to see when we break out the full list of two full pages of solutions. Because it was 1 a.m. and, you know, really, there's a lot of great information on here, and so we didn't want to necessarily cut any of these ideas out. We wanted you all to have the benefit of seeing all of the information together. But what we did do is identify some common themes that continue to come up and kind of, you know, buckets or key areas that we saw. So, you know, one of those areas was the overarching develop an affordable housing policy. You know, which includes a lot of different things, you know, land use, zoning, building codes, the funding piece, incentives, preservation of housing stock, all of those pieces that would be included as a part of an affordable housing policy. The other thing that came up, and this came up in both all three, you know, yesterday with our guest speakers, with the topic talk presenters, and last night with the community feedback, was the importance of public-private partnerships. And getting everyone together at the table and truly, you know, trying to have it be a win-win for the community, you know, understanding where the developers are coming from and really, you know, coming together to try to find that common ground. And so, you know, that was something that came up as a part of that. Incentivizing affordable housing. And, you know, we've heard a lot about that. There were a lot of different ideas and whether that's, you know, expedited review, development impact fees, density bonuses, parking reduction, I mean, tax abatement, there's all sorts of different pieces to that puzzle. But that was kind of the overarching piece there as far as that theme. The other one was funding, both leveraging existing funding, whether it's, you know, federal sources, entitlement, you know, those pieces, you know, or, you know, as you shared earlier, yesterday and today, Rick, you know, really there may be certain projects that are unique where you can identify additional funding sources, kind of one-offs, that that you may be able to work for certain projects. So really looking at those pieces as well. And then looking at other innovative funding sources or things that we haven't thought about. And you know, whether that's property tax. I know Michelle has talked a lot about that in Boulder and what they were able to accomplish there, or other ideas. The other piece that came up was also education. And again, this came up earlier as well. You know, it's educating our community. It's workforce. It's also the financial piece as well of education about affordable housing, and you know how you qualify, and you know, simple things too of really transitioning folks feel, you know, again, it's from that rental to that home ownership, and how do we bridge that gap and how do we get them there? And then the other solution that came up was really making sure, you know, is this a community priority? I mean, if we say it's a priority, then, you know, if we've been talking about it for 10 years, at some point we have to start moving forward and have action. And that's really the goal of the symposium and the goal of, you know, our planning session as we move into this next phase. And then improved economic opportunities, you know, and addressing the living wage issue was another component there. The second piece of the solutions puzzle that we asked were, what resources do we have in our community to implement these solutions and strategies? So in addition to all of the tools, right, the funding tools, the programmatic tools, we also have amazing resources in regards to community partners here in our community, and it's all of you sitting in this room. You know, it's you know, nonprofits, it's READY, it's the University of Missouri, it's developers and landlords, it's community banks, it's the business community, it's the community at large, all sitting, you know, the users who, you know, quite honestly, you going out and having those conversations about what will work and what the needs are. They can tell you what the needs are. It's not making the assumptions that you know. And so it's getting everyone together at that table to really discuss those solutions and realize that we have a lot of those resources in our community. We just need to be asking the right questions and getting everyone together around the table. So that was a really, really quick summary of a lot of great input. And so you know, what we're going to do at this point, and one other thing before we go into our breakout session and start our action planning, Randy, I know we had talked about putting your presentation and the topic talk presenters and other information on the website. So, you know, because a lot of people say, oh, I would love to look at those slides more closely or those sorts of things. So we will, and that came up as a part of the solutions on the education piece as well. You know, yesterday was live streamed, so we do have a recording of that. That will be obviously posted, and also Randy's presentation and other presentations that we can get, we will be posting that information on the website, so you'll be able to go there and access that information. So at this point, we are going to break, and we are going to go in the room right next door, and we will have a working session in there really until we end at 11:30, and so we will take you through a facilitated process over the next, you know, hour and a half to do that. Do we have a question here?
Will it post the solutions and education and stuff that you just showed us?
Yes. So as a part of this symposium, Carolyn and I will be working to put together a final report, which will include all of this information. So as long as you all signed in, and I know everyone, you know, most, did everyone register or sign in some way so we have your email? If not, please see us. And we will follow up after this event and send you a follow-up email with, you know, the link to the live stream, as well as our kind of final report, Michelle, which will include all of this. So great question. You're welcome. So, all right. So if we want to break, break from this room. We will have a break at 10:30, but if we could go directly into the next room, if everyone could take their seats, and then we'll get started immediately. Thank you.